I heard someone say that the United States of America is empathy deprived. Let us prove them wrong. Let us prove them wrong. Let us prove them wrong.
Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinnock.
What's up, my friends? How are you doing? You know, in this week's episode, it was on the schedule to, for me to come on and talk about something that I'm building, that I'm working on, you know, that is coming out pretty soon in regards to, you know, just generating revenue and building multiple revenue streams. And I may talk about it towards the end of the episode, but I can't ignore what's going on in the United States right now. I can't ignore it. As a black man, I can't ignore it. It's actually pretty easy now to speak out. It's easy now to speak out. And it's easy now to say what you feel because everyone is doing it. And usually, my personality, I usually want to say something or do something when no one else is doing it. Or, you know, I'm not too much of... It's like, for example, like, you remember with email, not too long after email came out, you know, everyone started to send these letters, these emails out saying... It had this nice thought, blah, and then at the end, oh, email 10 of your best friends. I hated those emails. It you would read this nice message, and then towards the end, it just reminded you that it was just a copy and paste. So I never took part in those emails. But, you know, as a black man, I felt like, and I have somewhat of a platform, I kind of wanted to just talk about my experience, what it's like for Daryl being a black man in the U.S. Things I've seen, things I've experienced, and I started going back to when I first came into this country and saw what my mom gave up every time she had to travel to the U.S. to work. She left her house. She left her land. She left an amazing job that she had at a company. But the U.S. was paying more money compared to, you know, the currency in Jamaica. Like, the dollar value was at a different level. And I saw what she was in. I saw where she lived. And it was just, I was just split. I was like, dang, this is where we live at? And at the same time, I was excited to be in America. This honest woman, this beautiful heart. And I saw where she lived. And then, you know, I had the opportunity to go to work with her. And I saw where she worked. And they were polar opposites. We lived in the projects. It was a two-bedroom. And, you know, we talking about New York, so, like... Compared to where I'm at in Georgia, a two-bedroom in New York is probably like maybe two rooms in Georgia, most likely one. So she lived in a two-bedroom in the projects, and we shared it with another family. And, you know, I often think to myself, why is it that the poorest area in a place, for the most part, has more black people, and the richest has more white people. And you know, when they talk about systematic racism, there's so much that goes into play into that. And it's like a machine that's built and the ball is rolling. And there's a lot of whites that they didn't build it. They didn't do anything to create it. But unfortunately, they helped to keep it going. Because you know what happens a lot of times is no one stops and asks themselves these questions. Why? Why? Why are certain things the way they are? Why do I feel uncomfortable when I get around a black person? Why do I feel uncomfortable when I get around a white person? And you see, when you start asking yourself these questions, you get the answer. And part of the problem is that almost every black person knows why they get uncomfortable. Because in your mind, you just think that that person thinks you're either less than, you shouldn't be here, or they're nervous around you. So we lived in the projects, and I loved that place. You know what I mean? You had community. You had, like, people, everyone would meet in the square. We called it the square. Basically, it's like the center part of the projects. Like, all you got all these buildings surrounding. And it was just this great sense of community. But it was also this great sense of evil. And you saw and experienced some things that, you know, you wouldn't want your child to experience. Things that, you know what I mean? Like, just didn't want your child to experience. And not knowing that some of these stuff exist, you know? There's so much times I could just, like, with just me making the wrong move, going somewhere too early, going there too late, being a split second sooner, or being a split second too late, I would have been dead. But I still love that place. I was devastated when my mom wanted to move. Because the friends, the camaraderie, the community. But as I said, when it was time to go to my mom's work, I was excited because it looked nothing like where we lived. It was an amazing, in my estimate, mansion around a group of people that treated us very nice, very nice. But you see, part of the issue is that in certain parts in this country, certain areas, certain workplaces, as long as a black person stays in their lane, the lane that's carved out for them, that doesn't create any friction, what you're quote-unquote supposed to do, everyone is cool with you. There's no issue. And, you know, going to hang out with my mom, she worked for a white family. And, you know, my mom, I just wish I could just have an inch of the heart that she had. Because she loved those kids. She loved them so much like they were her own children. She loved taking care of those white kids. She loved them. Her heart, she had so much empathy in her heart that, I mean, I just wish I could just get an ounce of that. All she thought was that this is what I needed to do to get where I needed to get to help to take care of my children. And nothing was going to get in the way of that. But my mom could have did better. She could have did so much better. And we didn't, I know I necessarily didn't experience any racism from this family. But the area they lived in, I did. I did experience it from other people. So I know what it feels like. And of course, the way how my mind works, and some of you have heard me talk about it, there was a point where I didn't even know what racism was. And then when I got older and understood what was going on, I got tunnel vision. Because I needed to get where I needed to get. And I needed to build that. I just didn't want to take certain approaches. Always felt like I had to get in the room to make an impact. So I wasn't intimidated by any arena that was filled with whites. I wasn't intimidated by it. And that's what I would say to my brothers. This is a good time, my sisters out there. This is a good time to start thinking. If you want to change, we all want to change certain things. And I believe that my people want to change certain things. How this country is, the system that it's built in. The system is not built for the average black person, the below average black person. It's not built for them to win. It's built for them to stay to a certain level, be in a certain class. And the minute they start getting out of that class, the minute it starts getting 10 times harder. So I tell you, you have to not be intimidated. I work in a design field. And majority is white. Majority of the agencies are white. So someone sees that and they're going to feel intimidated. That's not for me. I can't be around so many white people. I can't, you know? I wasn't intimidated. Part of the reason why I wasn't intimidated, because I remember a man named Terry Stewart. I was still in the architectural field. I was still drawing blueprints. And I worked for an engineering company. And one day I got an email from someone who's looking for a freelance drafter. It's basically someone who just draws plans on a freelance basis. And weeks passed. I never paid attention to it. Because, you know, I wasn't really trying to do that. At this time, I'm like in the middle of like going to architectural school and falling in love with graphic design. So I still had the tunnel vision. Oh, I'm going to switch careers and be a graphic designer. So not too long before, you know, I got married and whatever. Before I got married, I said, you know what? Let me check this out. Let me go down this rabbit hole. And Terry Stewart replied, and he was like, we got to meet. And I went to this apartment. Now, I'm married, just got married. I'm sending my wife the details on where I'm going. Because, you know, this is what I always did. When I'm going to meet with someone, I would send my wife the details, the address. Just being wise. Nothing, no red flags. Just being wise. And I walked into this apartment and I saw this white guy. And that dude did not flinch. It did not shudder, batter his eyes. He was as comfortable around me. And if he wasn't, man, he showed it. Terry, you showed it. You showed, like, you didn't show not one discomfort at all. And we worked together for months. just putting different blueprints together. And I would go to his apartment and we'd work. Some I did from home. And then I would go to his apartment and work. And some I did from home. And I said, look at that. I'm in this dude's house, this home, his home. So the problem is not that we think all white people are bad. No one thinks that. Everyone knows that. The problem is that too often we are treated like all black people are a threat. We're lumped in a box. We're the only ones that's lumped in a box. And it has to change. Every black man that goes out there in the world that's trying to do something, that's trying to make something of themselves, that's trying to be unstoppable, knows that in the back of their mind, they're starting behind the eight ball. They know that they're going to have to work twice as hard. They know that they're going to have to be twice as good, especially if they're going in a field that's predominantly white. They know that they're going to have to present themselves as non-threatening as possible. And that's, if you just look at that in just a vacuum, that's great. That's great persevering. But that's only because they know that because of the color of their skin, it's not going to be fear towards them. It's just not. And seeing someone getting killed on a live stream or a video, that's just like terrible. It's terrible. It's just unacceptable. And I know there's, you know, I saw some stuff out there saying that, you know, George Floyd is not like the perfect martyr. You know, he has a checkered past and he's not really a good person. And, you know, you see and hear so many different things out there. My point is that, like, I wasn't looking at it if he's got a checkered past. I'm not looking at it if he's a good person or not. I'm just looking at it as he should have made it to the precinct. It's just that simple. He wasn't a threat. He should have made it to the precinct. Nothing more, nothing less. He wasn't a threat. He should have made it to the precinct. And for the past weeks, tons of my white friends have reached out to me and wanted to kind of hear my thoughts, hear how I feel. And I'm glad that I could be like a person that could kind of give you some insight. I'm glad that I'm a person you feel like you feel comfortable with having this conversation with, because it's not an easy conversation. It's a very uncomfortable conversation, especially when you realize that your people are the ones that are causing most of the unrest. So if you're listening to this, it's time for us to have a conversation together. And most of that responsibility is on a white person. Because you have the power. You have most of the access. You get the access easier. It's just the fact. And this is coming from an unbiased person that you could ever think of. Because I'm about to get on a call today with a friend of mine. He's white. And I have a weekly call with two of my closest friends. They're white. So it's not like I love people. I love people that love me. I don't see color. But I can't beat around the bush. I can't beat around the bush. I know it exists. I know that a black man is lesser in this country I know it. It's a fact. And this is for all my good people out there that are white. We need you. We need you to be a voice for us. We need you to make anyone who thinks racism is okay and treating a person because of their color of their skin a certain way, in a derogatory way or a less than way, we need you to make those people feel like this is not a place for them to be at all. Because for far too long, those people are comfortable. This is their home. And this is not like a political thing. It's just a human thing. Like, me talking about this doesn't mean I'm a Democrat and it doesn't mean I'm a Republican. It just means that I'm a dude that just wants a fair shot. You have no idea how hard it is for me to get to where I am and some strategical things that I had to do to get to where I am. And I'm not even anywhere really. But for me to be taken serious, I had to build this platform. For me to be taken, you know, to be respected, I had to build this platform. I had to build my leverage, for lack of a better word. I had to put myself around and strategically make decisions on how I operate and stuff like that. Just to make sure that I'm not that no one sees me as a threat. And I feel like there's certain things that need to be done. Certain legislations, certain things that need to go in effect. Like, how is that not a hate crime? These are things that we need to think about. Why is it just a regular crime? These are things that we need to think about. Ask questions. Why is this way? Is it just because of my neighborhood? Or is it some other reason? And to my black brothers and sisters, go for yours. I could tell you, just because an agency or somewhere that you want to work is predominantly white, doesn't mean you should be intimidated by it. Doesn't mean that everyone in there is a racist. It is intimidating. And it makes you ask questions or wonder or be skeptical. Put all of that and go. Because if you want to get somewhere, you're going to have to deal with someone who's white. At some point. Because the higher the level you get, the more you realize that ain't that much more people looking like you after a while. And the only way we're going to change that is by us getting to higher levels and getting to different levels. Not being intimidated. Because you just may find out that not everyone is a racist. That's what I would say to my brothers and sisters and to my white friends and people that I know. Use your white privilege. It exists. We all know it exists. You may not ask. You probably didn't ask for it. You probably do embrace it. But I tell you, use it. Use it for those who don't have a voice. Those who feel like their hardship is because they experience this hardship because of the color of their skin, not because life is just hard. Use your white privilege. It's there. It exists. It is what it is. Use it for those who don't have a voice. I heard someone say that the United States of America is empathy deprived. Let us prove them wrong. Let us prove them wrong. Let us prove them wrong. I'm
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. I hope it's been super valuable to you and you're now ready to take your audience building, your community growing to the next level to help you and help me build our empire, for lack of a better word, or just to build our thing. Remember to stop by iTunes, Passion Behind the Art, and leave a review and subscribe. It's very important to me. It helps the podcast grow, and it makes me feel good to kind of hear from you guys, to know what you like about this podcast, what it's done for you. So jump on iTunes and subscribe and leave a review. Passion Behind the Art. Be blessed.